The following worship service was recorded live with Reverend Jimmy Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan tradition in Rock Springs, Wyoming.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to worship this morning, and may God bless you one and all. We were greeted this morning by the music of the Mannheim Steamrollers. Let us pray. Creator God, in the cold harshness of winter, we find beauty. In the harshest times of our lives, you help us to find hope and peace. May we catch the reflection of your loving kindness in every crystal frost and snow. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that through the hearing of your word, our lives may be lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Romans 15:4-13, for whatever is written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The word of God for the people of God.
This text gives us three: hope, joy, and peace. But we looked at hope last week, but I want to look at a little bit more as a formula for hope that brings about joy and peace. Now, a formula is loosely defined as a set of ingredients and/or instructions that, when properly combined as instructed, brings about a predictable and reliable result. That would be a definition of a formula. It's tried, it's true, it works, and the results, if followed, can be repeated reliably and with great accuracy. Now, how many of you since we're in Wyoming, are reloaders of ammunition reloaders? Anybody besides me? Anybody do that? You don't? What in the world? Well, I had to learn to reload because I was a competitive shooter at one point. And if you're going to competitively shoot, a practice session is 3,000, 3,500 rounds. You better be making your own, because you will run out of money soon. But I reload my rifles for hunting, and I haven't bought a box of cartridges in 25 years or more. Yeah, I roll my own, so to say. But I've learned that if I want my cartridges to perform at a certain level, there's a formula that I must follow. I use the same lot of primers. I use the same lot of powder. I use the same case neck dies, case sizes, bullets and bullet weights, same powder charges the powder and primer is kept in a controlled environment so that I can have consistency. And if I put all of those formulas together, the one I use gives me a 180 grain bullet with a muzzle velocity of 3,157 feet a second, give or take 10 FPS, the way it is. And it's consistent with X amount of bar pressures and all. So you got to have a formula. How many of you use formulas? Anybody cook? Yeah, you use the formula for cooking, right? How about baby formula? Anybody ever used baby formula? You had kids that you had to put some certain stuff in with. Trinity, we found out early that the formula that we need to cut a larger hole in the nipple and sprinkle some stuff in that stuff so that she would last longer than an hour between times of feeding, you know. It's just the way it was. And my oldest daughter, holy smokes, 6 weeks, you could see little teeth coming. I said, this kid needs some taters. You know, because if it's got teeth, it's time to feed it. You know, it's ready for chewing to go on. So you got to have a formula. And what I want for, how many of you want a formula for hope? A formula for hope that with Justin Wilson, I guarantee results every time. I can guarantee you write these 7 things down. You mix all of this together. Hope will happen. Hope will happen. Hope will happen. Let's look at the text to see if we can discern what these things are. Now, when hope shows up, there's 2 more things that come with it: peace and joy. Peace and joy. Let's see if we can get them. Here we go. For whatever was written, the here is the first ingredient, and it is the Word of God. Whatever is written in former days was written for our instruction, the Word of God. That's our first ingredient, the Word of God. The next one is for our instruction, so that by steadfastness, ingredient number 2, you leave a little room around this one because we got to put something else with it in just a minute. Steadfastness. The 3rd ingredient is encouragement. So we got the Word of God, steadfastness, and encouragement. Got 3. The encouragement of the Scriptures so that we may have hope. Did you see it? Well, I've only given you 3. So we got to get the other 4 in there somewhere, right? Because you got to get this formula so that you can get it every time. Got to get it right. Now, may the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant to you. Now, here you are, the God of. So now you've got the Word of God. You, number 2, have the steadfastness of God. Number 3 is the encouragement of God. Told you had to leave some room for those other 2, right? So you've got the Word of God, encouragement of God, and the steadfastness of God. There's 3. What's going down? That you may live in harmony with one another in accordance with Jesus Christ, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another. Underline that. We'll come back in just a minute. Underline that. We'll be back. Welcome one another. Therefore, just as Jesus Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Ooh, teleport down to verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. I want to plug it here. The next 2 Sundays, I'm going to be doing a 2-part series on belief. So if you get one, you want to kind of come and get the other one because they connect. So it is the next 2 Sundays, it's entitled Belief. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Number four is God's gift of the Holy Spirit. God's gift of the Holy Spirit. We now have four ingredients for our formula for hope. The thing that's missing right now is what do you do with the ingredients once you get them together? You mix them, right? So we don't have a mixing bowl. I guess I could empty this cup. Don't you love that sound? You just need to know I love to hear kids in worship. So we need something to mix it in. So our next ingredient is to mix it in ourselves, to receive these gifts of God, the gifts of God's Word, by opening it, by reading it, by soaking it in, remembering it, committing it to our hearts. Number one is reading the Word of God. Number two is to receive the encouragement of God, that God wants us to succeed, that God wants good things for us, and to be able to depend on God. God's steadfast, not the world's, not your friends, not your wives, not your husband, not your kids, not all of that stuff, but on God's steadfastness. And then the gift of the Holy Spirit, God's gift of the Holy Spirit. So you got four things that are gifts of God, right? And we're going to put them into ourselves, who we are. Who are we? We're God's creation, aren't we? We're the crown of His creating moment. Humanity is God's last created thing, and it is His crowning moment. So the fifth piece of this is that we receive God's gifts of steadfastness, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and His living Word. We fill that into ourselves. God's creation, we bring it in. That's five things. If you bring these four into you, you need something to do with. That's five. Got two more to go. If you're in Sunday school or stuck in on Facebook, you know what the other two are. So what are they? We got five. The one thing that we as Christians, redeemed and receiving of this, to have hope, is we can't become islands unto ourselves. Notice what it said, that we are to welcome people among us. The sixth element of this formula is to live among people, to share the gospel, to share the good news, to share in fellowship. That's why Paul will later say in Hebrews, don't forsake assembling to yourselves together. But it's to welcome people, to welcome the broken, to welcome as Christ welcomed us. To do that, it gives us that hope. Because I got news for you, church. I sometimes need to hear that somebody overcame something. I sometimes need to know that I'm not the only one who stumbles. I sometimes need to know that if they stumbled and they got through it, there's hope for me. And it's in that fellowship and it's in that sharing of that whole journey that gives us the next piece of our hope formula. The next thing is, you cannot put your own ingredients. The final piece is that God will fill you with His joy and peace. It's all God's work. The minute you put your 2 cents in it, your paprika or your cinnamon, you got the formula all wrong. And you won't get the hope that is eternal. You'll get a temporary. I want to tell you a little story that's true. Happened to me this week. And Kent's already given me grief about what I'm going to tell you. So relax. Kent's got you took care of here. My truck's broke. Any surprises there? 350,000 miles, 17, 18 years old. How many of you have ever remodeled an old house? Yeah. Have you ever noticed you go to remodel an old house, as soon as you start fixing one thing, what happens? Yeah, it don't stop. It don't end, you know. It's like, oh, no, oh, no. Well, there's my truck. I'm going to go ahead and say, Ken has graciously loaned me his shop. Do you know what's wonderful? It's got heat. There's no snow blowing through. You know, there's an air compressor. Do you know that's handy for hand air tools and blowing stuff out and cleaning things? And there's this hose reel. Folks, you don't understand. If you ain't ever worked on this stuff, how important that stuff is. Workbenches, grinders, I mean, and a bathroom. That you just need to understand. When you hit my age and a little congestive heart failure and some fluid pills, that's a handy spot. It's just a handy spot. And I got the old truck up there, and I've got all my parts gathered up. You know, I've been a mechanic since in the 60s. I loved working on cars growing up. Oh, I just loved it. Car, anything like that, it was just wonderful. It's just great. I enjoyed it. I started buying and flipping cars when I was 9 years old. I could adjust solid lifters in a small block Chevrolet at 10. By 11, I could build a small block Chevy. Back then, that was all you could afford if you were poor, because if you had a small block Chevrolet, every part from a small block Chevrolet fitted. You didn't have to worry about crossing in and Ford back in the day here. You know, it was a 64, and then there was a 64 and a half, and then there was a 64. You had to go to the half year. It was crazy business. So I got all my parts. I got tools out the thing, and kids got tools up there, and I got parts, and I got everything. I took that truck in, and I started on it, and, man, everything, you know, it's just roll on. I got up there the next day, and I go in there, and it ain't going so good. You might not know this or even believe this. I'm such a wonderfully nice person, but I've got a really bad temper. It's not nice. You don't want to see it, do they, Trinity? It can show up, and it don't go away quick. You need to go away so that things don't happen that get you injured. I won't be responsible. How many of you, when you lose your temper, you lose your brain, it goes with it? Anything, any good come out of losing your temper? Tell me, what good comes out of it? So I'm working on this thing, and there's the turbocharger. I've taken these things off for years. There's a back band that holds the turbo onto the up pipe, collector pipe. Normally, you unscrew the, you can't see it. It's back there, trust me. Takes a little, and you can get in there. You got to lay down on the motor, and you got to stick your head in there and close your eyes and do this. And when you get it loose, you get the nut loose, you take a little slide hammer you can stick in there. This is a trick. And you bump that slide hammer about 3 times, and that band will go, peeg, and those little V-clamps will jump right off. Big deal. I got the other one off on the exhaust. Boom, bang, that back one won't come loose. For nothing. 2 hours and it ain't come loose. 2 hours. Folks, do you know what it's like laying on your belly on top of a motor with your head stuck back up under a firewall in a place you can't see? Frustration levels were inching their way up. Just headed up. Okay. If I can't get the band off, then maybe I can get the bolts out of the Y pipe for the up pipes and just take out the whole thing. Problem solved, right? I go down. I can't even see those bolts. Ford, in its infinite wisdom, they're up in there. I know where they are, but you can't see them. So how many of you have took the inner fender out on your car lately? Do you know how much fun that is when you've been driving in the snow and the salt and the slack. Yeah, there I am, pulling the inner fender out. That gets frustrating because the parts don't come out. Guess what? The bolts are rusty. It's a 20-year-old truck. It's a four-wheel drive. It's been everywhere. So I finally get this out. Trinity showed up now, and she knows the signs. You were really talkative, wasn't you? No, she was staying at distance. It's bubbling. It's boiling. I get down there where those bolts ought to be. I can't get that light nowhere even close to those bolts. Can't see the bolts. I go to the other side. I can't see the bolts. I am hot. I've decided I'm going blind. I've decided I'm too old for this business. I've decided that God hates me and that I'm an idiot just because I have years of experience, years of knowledge, tools, and all that stuff. I've decided that I can't fix it. I told Trinity, you need to leave because I'm hot. It's over. I started saying four-letter words to start with S. I don't use the other ones. That's mine, you know. And I was hot. There's no joy in this. This stopped being joy working on cars years ago. Unless it's yours. Then I'm not having to pay for it, and I don't mind it so bad. So I'm done. I tell Trinity, leave. I'm done. And as I am leaving, I threw my trouble light back into where I was at, where those bolts were supposed to be that I couldn't find. I turned down the heat, turn off the air compressors. Oh, and those bulbs go flying with the trouble light things, you know, when you do that. So it was sparkly, so I unplugged it and threw the cord down. Yeah, this kid shop. But, so, you know, I wash my hands, I go pee, and I leave. Mumbling. Anybody been there? Just me? I go home, and I unload on poor Carrie. Trinity has went downstairs because I ain't cooling off, you know. So the next morning, I go back and I walk in. I go back and I turn the heat up and I look at that truck as I go by, and it's got a name. It's got a name. I turn the heat on. That's on the other end of the shop at Ken. And I turn around and I look at that truck. And I said, "Old devil." Now I'm going to try not to cry. God said, "Pray." So I got down in the floor of Kent's shop. And I began to pray and repent. For I had sinned. I had lost it. I had not set a good example. And I prayed for about 10 minutes. And I said, "God, if it's your will that I fix this truck, then show me. If it's not your will, then let me find a wrecker. I'll give somebody a box job." So after I got done praying, I got up. I went over there and I fixed the trouble light with the bulb that was broke. But the other one was a LED one and it didn't break. It was just that old style, you know. So I fixed that and I go over and I plug it in. And the light comes on and I'm over on the wall up by the passenger side of the truck where I pulled the inner fender out. All my tools are laying there on the floor. And I get down and I peek and guess what I can see? Those two bolts. 5 minutes later, I'm talking about bolts into an exhaust manifold that's 20 years old. Those two bolts are out. I go around to the other side of the truck, jack it up, slide up under there, poke my light through, and guess what I can see? Those other two bolts. They come right out. I didn't put any penetrating oil on them. They come right out. Got up on top, rolled the turbocharger out. And I bet you're thinking right now, "Well, preacher, everything just went perfect after you prayed, didn't it?" Well, let me tell you. I get that out, and I take the turbo over to the workbench, and I set it down. Remember, it's got the Y-pipe still on it for the up pipes. I do that. But in the meantime, as I rolled it out, my up pipes fell off on the floor. They got to be replaced. And so, you know, it ain't going all that well. I set the turbocharger down. That back clamp goes ting and pops and falls off. Why couldn't it do that down in there? We wouldn't have been where all this is. But things did not go all that well. I found fuel lines that were bad and fuel seals that were needed to be replaced. And there was another stupid oil leak at the pedestal. So, you know, it's just everything. But you know what else? I was warm. I had a bathroom. I realized, I guess, Thursday. Oh, the turbocharger I had couldn't be rebuilt. It was totally shot. I found the snap was broke on my air cleaner, and all this dust off these dirty roads was bypassing my air filter, and it just ate that turbocharger. There wasn't anything left. I had to go down to Superior. I had to go down there, and they had a turbocharger, but it was the wrong one when I got there. It was an OBS. I needed the new style. So he said, "We've got one. This is the day." It was snowing Wednesday, Thursday. It was that blizzard morning, and he didn't want to take it off, so I had to take it off. And folks, I took that back clamp off. As soon as the nut comes, it said ting, and it just popped right off. And that guy said, "I've never seen a turbo come off that easy." I said, "That's God at work." He said, "You know, I believe you." He said, "I've been there." He said, "I believe you." Because there isn't but two bands and two bolts holds them on. It's really an easy job, sort of. But I'm laying up on top of this thing. Folks, my legs are bruised from working on this truck. It's not easy. But, look, I still have them. But notice, no bleeding knuckles, not a one. Now, that's God at work. Because I tell my hands when we go under the hood of something, "Here we go. You know, it's going to cost you." There was hope. Even though it wasn't going good. And I found something that I had lost a long time ago. And that was the joy of working on cars. I spent 2 hours getting a broken fitting out. Listening to Christian radio. And the fitting finally come out and got it replaced. Folks, this formula requires we invest in it. It requires that we be honest, that we may get any of these, love, joy, hope, peace. That this formula would work, we have to take our ingredients out, and we have to tell God, "I can't do it. I can't get there on my own. I have the knowledge, I have the experience, I have all the ingredients, but the problem was I mixed them my way instead of God's way. I didn't start the repairs on the truck with God. I wound up there because of failure and hopelessness and aggravation and irritation. And my sin was getting Jim in front of God and not letting God in front of me." Yeah, that's right. Your pastor makes some mistakes too. I still got my skin on. Hope is God's gift. Guaranteed, Sherry. Guaranteed. If we use his formula. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a minute. Father, the formula is actually a formula of surrender to you and receiving your grace. For Father, it is in that we can have an eternal hope, a hope that surpasses understanding, that leads us to know joy and peace. Father, I pray for each one of us here this morning to know that it is your love, your grace, your gifts, of love and mercy that you want to give us, that we could know you, that we could serve you, that we could be filled with joy, peace, hope, and all of your gifts. But Father, sometimes we get in the way. And Father, we put our own ingredients in it. And maybe the greatest and the hardest one is to share it with each other, to be vulnerable, to be truthful. But Father, it may be the other person that needs to hear. So Father, let us welcome one another, bruises, scars, and all. And Father, let us have a hope that is eternal, not this temporary or based on material things or based on our own strength and abilities, but on your love and grace. Are you struggling? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe I've hit something, said something that stirred something. Are you struggling? If you are, I want to pray for you. Just slip your hand up and take it right back down. Amen. Pastor, I don't tend to lean on my own strengths and abilities. Pray for me to lean more on God's in my life. Slip your hand. Pastor, it's scary being vulnerable. Pray that I can share that others may know too. Pray for you. Lift your hand up. Let me see. Amen. How gracious and loving God. Hands lifted and hearts are open. Let us know that you are steadfast and that you encourage us. That you never put us down, that's the enemy. You never say we're not worthy, that's the enemy. You never say we're a failure, that's the enemy. For you say that with man it is impossible, but with you all things are possible. Hear our prayers lifted to you in the name of Jesus, our Christ. Amen. God's grace and peace go with you and keep you. May His hope fill you. May His mercy give you strength. And may His grace give you a message to go tell on the mountain. And now may God's grace, peace, and mercy bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.